Okay. Yep. Fish and Frank here. Robert in the chair across from me. And another fishing report.
Not a bad thing.
No. God, I miss my old volume controls for this music and stuff. There we go. It's like, you know. Anyway, you know, everything digital is harder for me to do. I work better with switches and knobs and, you know, stuff like that.
I can appreciate that one.
Yeah, we missed last week.
Yeah, we did.
It was. Things get a little chaotic around here sometimes. Last week was chaotic.
It was pretty steady.
Yeah, it was a little more, oh my gosh.
Well, it was the first opening weekend of pretty much everything. Like, yeah. Officially opened.
Well, the we had, gosh, see.
Thank you, Terry.
And for anybody who doesn't know, just, okay, everybody, one, two, three, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, little Robert, happy birthday to you.
Yay! Nice.
Oh, boy, oh, nice. Boy. Yes, it was.
I like it. I appreciate that.
Yes. And the crowd loves you, Robert. Okay, all right, everybody, settle down, audience, settle down. Okay, there we go, we can get them to quiet down. All right, so, anyway.
A little flushed on that one, that was good.
Robert's birthday's obviously today. This is weird, you're actually in the store, you're not out getting your butt kicked on the water.
No, I'm going to wait till tomorrow because it's supposed to lay down. Theoretically.
It didn't look like it was too bad today.
It's blowing probably 10 to 12 solid.
Yeah, it's supposed to be turning towards the west tomorrow, I think. It's supposed to be blowing like out of the north today and then going to west.
Yeah, I'm good with that. We'll give it a try.
Well, the toughest directions here to fish in are north and south.
Yeah.
Because the harbor basically has a north-south aspect to it. So if you're trying to hide, the north is actually a little easier to hide from than the south, but not a lot. South winds, there's just nowhere to hide, you know. But from the north, we got a few places, you know. But west and east are easy because with that north-south aspect, we've got miles and miles of shoreline you can fish on the east side or the west side or the bays. If it's coming out of the west, you go around Cape Hayes and you just got a little bit of rough water, you can skip right into Bull and Turtle Bay. But, boy, there are some days where it can be a little bit tricky to, where do you hide?
Yeah. Those are the days I wish I was with you. Well, you and Danny are the only two ever, you're the best at it, but you're the only two that don't like to get beat up, don't like to get wet, and know how to read the waves.
It was funny.
And understand your boat at the same time.
I was riding with Carl, and I made him stop in the harbor. And I said, stop. Move over. Now, I'm going to show you how to do this. And I went and was showing him how to, where I caught waves and how I do everything and all that. And he started doing it. He was getting pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he ever did it again, but
no, he's still doing it because there was a couple days we went out with him. It was pretty sporty. He's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, it's just more than 99% of the people I've ever seen can steer a boat. They have not a clue as how to operate one. They
right.
don't know why you have the motor away from the boat or under the boat and how, you know, all the stuff works. They just, okay, this, and they can steer and they can go faster or slower.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot more to it. It's just like with fishing. Every day I'm working with people on getting them so that they can cast. They can, in this direction they actually want it to go to.
Right.
And most people throw, but it's in a general direction. It's going to land somewhere out there. And they get lucky when it actually hits there. But it's not actually muscle memory repetitive skills. It's luck.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach people how to hold a fishing reel. I would say 8 out of 10 people have no idea how to hold a fishing reel.
Right.
They've been doing it all their life, but they've been doing it wrong. You know, I've been doing this way for 60 years. Well, how does it feel to be really stupid for 60 years? I'm sorry. When you're doing it wrong, and there is correct, believe it or not, boys and girls, it's not a matter of preference. It's like if you're using a hammer and you're holding it halfway to the head, you're not getting the use of the hammer.
Right.
You'd hold it at the end of the handle where it's meant to be, so you actually, it works the way a hammer's supposed to work. You know, if you're just starting something, you hold it up by the head and go tick, 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 tick. But when you actually go to use the hammer, that's why you have paid for the whole thing. You want to use the whole thing. And
the handle would be much shorter if that was meant to be used that way.
Mm-hmm. And fishing poles, there's a right way and a wrong way. And the basic thing is, if you're holding, let's say, a spinning reel, and you have the reel, and then where it attaches to the rod, and then that shaft there, shank, whatever it is, going down, and then the reel hangs there. If you have one finger in front of that, like you're pulling a trigger on a gun, you're holding the reel incorrectly. It's wrong. You need to have at least two fingers in front of the stem, maybe three, depending upon who you are, how big the reel is, and so on and so forth, you know. But as a general rule, most people have two fingers in front of the stem, two fingers behind the stem. Gives you the most power, gives you the most control. You can actually reach the line, and I never use the handle on a spinning rod when I'm going to get the line. I roll the bail around with one hand, grab the line with the roller as it comes up, because I've got two fingers in front of the stem, I can actually reach it. So as it's coming up, I'm grabbing the line, my hand's already there, open the bail, I cast, reach forward, close the bail, pull the tip of the rod back to tighten the line and reel forward. And each one of these steps will make you faster, more accurate. And then the other thing is, your thumb should be straight up the rod. When you grab the reel, you got two fingers on each side, and you put your thumb straight up the rod. If you wrap your thumb around the handle, as you go to cast, your wrist is going to go to the side. And then you're going to kind of get in the right place. But if you have your thumb straight up the rod, you grab the line, you pull your hand back, and then you point it with your thumb, you're going in the direction you want it to go. And it's muscle memory. It's the same movement. So the more you repetitively do a movement, the more talented you'll get with it.
Right. No, I follow that.
Well, I didn't know if it came out clear enough, but if it didn't, just come in and ask.
No, it did, actually. That's why I was trying to visualize it as you're saying it without trying to look at what your hand movement was. So.
Well, I got
to
do my hand movement so I remember what I do.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's second nature. Because remember when I was on that kick to do 2-pound mono?
Yeah.
And that's where all this came from. Because I learned I held the reel wrong. I wasn't using the rod to its right potential. I wasn't doing the drag correctly. I wasn't casting correctly. I wasn't doing anything right.
Right.
And I had already fished for 30-some years, or 20-some years. I guess I started fishing as a little kid, but I don't know exactly when. But after all those years, I was not doing anything right. And I set out on a quest to be able to catch snook, redfish, whatever I wanted with 2-pound test monofilament. And I accomplished my goals, but it took months and months and months and months and months of practicing, redoing, refiguring, and rethinking every movement I made.
Right.
And people think, it's just like with baseball. You're not going out there and hitting home runs because you walked up to the plate and swung the bat.
No.
If you hit a home run, it's a lucky shot. It's not a skill shot. So,
yes.
Hang on just a second. I got to redo the air. Remember the other night I said I took that muscle relaxer and I think it did permanent. I think I really hurt myself.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I really hurt myself.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I might have some permanent damage here.
That's not good.
Yeah, well. C'est la vie. Life's either pain or pleasure. Might as well have one or the other. Otherwise you're bored. Hey, Peace River, what's going on?
Oh, let's see. It's starting to slow down immensely up there, but they are still catching a few snook up there. Heard a couple reports of some redfish, mostly on the Punta Gorda side, going up towards Shell Creek.
Okay. Hang on a minute.
Lost the page.
No, I got the right page. I just want to see. I haven't looked at the river in so long.
Oh, it's got to be down, I would think.
Well, it was. Oh, my God, is it down? 67 cubic feet per second.
What?
67. We need 300.
It's at 67.
Normal. Yeah, 67.
Is there even any water in there?
It's not even a foot deep.
That's crazy.
I thought with that rain coming in up north and all that, yeah, it would have at least got something in it.
Right. This is crazy. I don't think I've ever heard of it that low.
In 2001, we had 11 cubic feet per second. Remember the drought?
Oh, yeah.
Two-year drought?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that...
But still, 67. Wow.
We're at just 3/4 of a foot right now.
That's crazy.
Yeah. This is really low.
Be fun to go up there fossil hunting, though.
Yeah, 143 to 312 is, you know, you figure... We should be at around 300 right now. But this is May, so it's not June, so it's not catastrophic yet.
Right.
The second week of June is when it's supposed to start. Rain-wise, that is.
Yeah, I was explaining that to a customer the other day from back in the days of the Fish and Frank Severe Weather Challenge.
Where are the snook doing up there?
They're catching them right there between Shell Creek and up to the Shell Creek Dam. But they're catching them on an assortment of lures. Those Strike Kings, the Z-Mans, mostly like the jerk baits and the paddle tail with the ribs on it.
Oh, yeah, the Rage Swimmer.
And then a lot of paddle tails and quite a few jerk baits. It's funny, we've been selling a lot of plastics for up there lately, not so many hard baits.
I think that's becoming a more common thing. Well, you can tell I turned up the air conditioner.
Right.
It was really getting, like, bad right here in this little corner. I-75.
A couple of black drum. A guy caught a couple small black tip sharks up there. One looked like a bull, but the other one actually looked like a legitimate black tip. And that's about it.
Okay. Let's see. The 41 bridge.
Let's see, snook, some juvenile tarpon, been a handful of Spanish mackerel, a couple reports of mangrove snapper underneath there, and a few black drum. I know the bridge trolls have been up there trying for cobia, but the only couple that they've hooked into have been very short ones. So...
Quite a frew. Now I got to spell few with an R. Frew.
I do that all the time. I always go to the R key for the F when I'm typing and stuff.
Yeah, just don't do the B instead of the N.
Right. Well, the right above the F and the R are kind of like right above each other, and I just, my blind butt just goes, oh yeah, there it is, and then I go back and reread it and go, oh.
I can actually see it fine. I just don't pay any attention. So, Lashley Pier.
A few mangrove snapper, a couple black drum, and there's been some snook fishermen going there at night. They said it's been pretty quiet there at night, so they've been enjoying it.
All right. Hang on just a second. Okay, did you miss us? That was about 20 minutes it took to do that. For you, it just seemed like a second.
Right?
It's miracle flash. We go back into time. Hi, this is me from 10 minutes ago.
Nice.
Okay.
That was on last night. Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like the last 20 minutes of it. We watched it, just kind of got sucked into it because it was kind of that nostalgic kind of thing. It was like, yeah, okay, let's watch it.
Yeah. It's... When you start hitting that 80s, you get that, and then you start seeing the 70s, and that when you see the 60s and 70s, you see how radically things changed.
Oh, yeah.
Because the 70s, it went from the hippie movement to the disco era.
Right.
And that is when things, you know, everything changed in the mid, late 60s, and then it changed again in the 70s, and then, you know... remember all the different things? You know, you had the discos and then the me generation and the yuppies and the... Oh, God, there was all kinds of them. No.
I do.
But...
I do. Yeah, my aunt was a full-blown hippie that lived in a teepee the whole nine yards.
And then the people who were living in the teepees and, you know, being one with the earth and peace and love went into the discos and did cocaine and got greedy and, you know, and the Wall Street thing. And then it was, oh, it was just, man, a lot of changes. So, some good, some bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bayshore Pier.
It's actually been getting a couple reports off of there. Some sharks, a couple of cobia, a couple more triple tail. Been a couple of snook there at night. What the heck else was it? A couple guys saw black drums swim through but couldn't catch anything, but they watched them swim by and they were fascinated by that. That's about it. But getting some feedback off of there.
It's just weird. We had a couple years where it was like nothing. And it was historically the big fish pier.
Right.
You know, you go to Lashley and catch snappers and trout and stuff like that, most of the other piers. But Bayshore, if you wanted big fish, you went to Bayshore Pier. That was the way it was for decades.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden it went away.
That's strange.
Undid it back. Okay. Port Charlotte Canals.
They've been all over the map. Jacks, some snook. Still getting a lot of reports of sand bream. Been a few mangrove snapper.
You know what it could be? That there's so few people commercial fishing.
Yeah.
And sand bream are the basic livelihood for commercial fishermen in this area. And most of them just, there's not enough money in it anymore.
Right. Yeah, there was one kid in here yesterday telling me they've been catching them pretty good commercial in them. But I don't, half the fish houses aren't buying them.
Well, the problem is you got right now about the only ones out there doing commercial fishermen are some kids in their teens or 20s.
Yeah.
You know, young kids who are going to make a living fishing.
And don't know any better at all.
Yeah. And anyway, with the sand bream thing, we're getting in it. We do this fishing report in my office and you can see on the floor and everything. And, we don't use the special studios or anything for this. As you can tell, it's noisy in the background and all that, so we keep getting interrupted. We hit the pause and go back and record more. Another customer came in with balloons and ribbons for Robert.
Yeah, that was pretty nice. Very thoughtful.
There was an article in the Waterline and talking it on the radio. And so, poor Robert.
Yeah.
He gets all flustered. Yeah. But sand bream were really important to the commercial fishermen, but it's just a few young kids thinking they can make some money at this who really just don't want to get a real job, and they want to go out and screw around on a boat, and they're going to catch fish and, you know, make a lot of money and do all this, and they barely cover their gas costs, and, you know, so.
Yeah.
That's why you just don't see the, you know, middle-aged guys doing it anymore. They've gone on to drive dump trucks or do construction or
something. Consistent paycheck.
Yeah, they actually make money at it.
Right. So,
but with that going less and less, there's more and more sand bream making, and a very prolific fish and one of the best eating fish in Charlotte Harbor.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's an amazing fish for as far as they fight pretty good, like a crappie. I use crappie size rods for them, literally my 5.5 foot ultralight. And I put a crappie jig on, tip it with a little piece of shrimp, about 3 feet below a bobber, and just let it bounce around with the ripples on the water, or just fish them the same way with crappie, just casting the jig out, jigging it back.
Well, and Terry and I were out back, actually, like 2 weeks ago, and there was a gentleman that came up with a cooler and said, I heard you talking about the sand bream and how great eating they were. I brought you some. And I'm like, have you ever tried them? And he's like, no, I'll try some sometime. I'm like, no. You can't give these away to anybody until you try them.
Right.
You got to try them first. And he took them home, and he was completely amazed because he's a hardcore walleye and perch fisherman.
Oh, so, eats a hell out of walleye.
So he was super excited about it.
You know, you got to want to eat walleye. you got to say to yourself, I want to have walleye. Because it's a very distinctive flavor, and they even use very distinctive breading.
Mm-hmm.
What's really weird, if you go to, Terry, what's that burger joint?
Crystals.
Culver's.
Culver's.
If you go to Culver's and you order the chicken, they use the walleye breading on that.
Well, they sell walleye there.
Yeah, I know, but the chicken has the same breading as they use on the walleye.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And it's really neat. I mean, it's because you get that walleye batter flavoring with the chicken and all that. It's Culver's has got a pretty good thing going with that because everybody else has standard chicken batter.
Right.
But when you go into Culver's, it literally, you're like, wait a minute. No, there's something there. It took me a little while to figure it out. But yeah, it's walleye batter on the chicken.
Nice.
And it's different. And it's good. I've had it many times, but.
Right. Well, growing up there.
Yeah.
Kind of a given.
So, Eldra Bean Pier.
Oh, let's see. Eldra Bean, they've been doing a little bit more fishing there. There's been some guys fishing at night, throwing for some snook and hooking a few, and along with a few tarpon. And then during the daytime, they've been getting a few black drum, a few bigger mangrove snapper, not good numbers, but better quality. And then their jacks have been coming through fairly regularly. Definitely a lot better to move around a little bit there, but it seems like they're all over the map with daytime and nighttime. Somebody caught it on fire last week. They shut it down for the night.
They burned it again?
Yeah, but it was only a slight burn, but it was enough for the cops to close it for the entire night and until they could make sure everything was good and out.
What's weird is I've been a smoker since I was like 12 years old. I mean, it was back in the 60s. Maybe early 70s, but late 60s, early 70s, something like that. And, I've never caught anything on fire. Yeah. Once in my life, not ever, ever, ever.
Right.
That I didn't want to catch on fire.
Right.
I mean, and, I twist the coal out, let the coal go in the water, and put the butt in my pocket.
Yeah.
That's just, when you grow up in the Northwoods, you learn. You don't, because the whole ground is covered in pine needles, and, you can start a major forest fire just by being stupid for half a second.
Right.
So, it's... And if I'm in the woods or in a situation like that and I'm flicking ashes off, I always try to do it in my hand, make sure they're cold before I drop them. Because mm-hmm. ashes aren't, it's actually fertilizer. So,
sure.
But I just don't understand, and they always blame a smoker for it.
Well, that's because there's a lot of inconsiderate smokers that just fling it out arbitrarily and don't even care, don't even give it a thought. The other day when Josh and I did that detour coming back from the radio show, we stopped at the park right there by Tippecanoe Park, I think it is, just to take a look at it.
Right.
And I had just lit one, but we started to walk down the path, and I'm like, okay, I don't need a cigarette that bad. So there was a big, open, sandy spot, and I just made sure my cherry went out, put the butt in my pocket, and it's like, what happened to your cigarette? I said, I don't want to have to worry about it while I'm walking down this trail with you.
Right now, everything's so dry, it's unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah, Christina actually told me this morning, she's like, I finished your laundry yesterday, I was folding your clothes, and a whole bunch of butts fell out of your pocket.
Yeah, Terry's mentioned the cigarettes in my pocket a couple times.
Yeah.
All right, the Mica River area.
Well, let's see, they're getting some Spanish mackerel as you get closer to the mouth. Been a few sharks also down in that area. And then along the Hog Island side, they've been getting a few snook, and one guy actually caught a pompano there the other day. He didn't see any, didn't nothing. He was just fishing along the shoreline and caught a pompano. He said there's been some rolling moss, and he said the snook were hanging on the edges of all that, where the rolling moss had kind of built up from the wind. And he said the snook were from bushes all the way out to like 30 feet, 40 feet out from the bushes. But he said for some reason they're hanging like right at the edge of all that rolling moss. Somebody said they got into some of that rolling moss offshore. I remember to bring that up. Like a long ways out there.
Yeah. No, it's just this has been one of those years, I think, because of the drought
mm-hmm.
that we've got a lot more of the moss and stuff coming
algae
up.
Algae blooms.
And algae blooms and all that kind of
the
stuff.
The bottoms of the canals turning over and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Because that black stuff was floating around all the canals and the harbor for, what, a little over a week there.
Yeah, and it's just different temperatures, different salinities when the canals, which historically are very, very low salinity, some of them almost don't have hardly any salt in them. They're very light salt. And then all of a sudden, as the drought goes, it can take months and months for the tide to pull all that water out and replace it with salt water.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes months. Some of these canals are miles back up in there. And it's that water only goes partway out, then gets pushed back in. And it's very slow exchange to get new water back there. And when they finally do, all of the plants and everything in there, they're changing that salinity on them, and all of a sudden they've got extra sunlight and all this stuff, and they shrivel up and die, and you get all that stuff floating out, and it's a big deal.
Yeah. It's good to have once in a while. We need that for the health of the harbor overall.
About every 10 years, a good drought is a good thing here. You know, mm-hmm. it does kind of recycle everything, restart everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, anyway, South Gulf Cove.
Tilapia, and still a lot of Mayan cichlids. A lot of guys are still buying worms and going fishing back in there. It's been pretty interesting with that. It's kind of neat to see that they're still feeding well enough, and guys have started to actually enjoy fishing for them.
That, I don't know, that little Strike King spinnerbait, I've sold several to people.
Mm-hmm.
Morris was talking about it that one time, catching those monster tilapia on that spinnerbait, and man, it has become a thing. That little tiny spinnerbait, for some reason or other, tilapia like that. It's like an oversized beetle spin.
Mm-hmm.
But something about that Strike King, it's, you know, when, and they're getting 3, 4, 5 pound tilapia on that.
That's
one
cool.
Heck of a fish.
Yeah, it is.
And it's really become a thing. And I've tried, you know, we were out of them for a little while. We got a couple more we found, and we got them back on the wall, but they didn't seem to do as good. There's something about the Strike King one.
Right.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is, and it doesn't make any sense, but it's the Strike King one you want for the big tilapia.
What's that new expensive one we got in? Something cricket or something? It's on the opposite side. It's a little, like, almost like a little inline, like, almost like, kind of reminds me a little bit of a Roadrunner-ish kind of looking cross between a spider jig and a Roadrunner.
Yeah, I got no idea what it is.
They're like, they're...
Hang on, let me pause this. I'll go grab one. Hey, pause. Robert's off to go grab the spinnerbait. And it's just weird. You know, sometimes you really think you got a handle on this stuff, and then all of a sudden somebody says, you know, man, look what I was catching on these. And then you start recommending them, saying, you know, I think these will be pretty good. It's kind of cool. And, oh, the Strike King Thunder Cricket. Oh, God, they are expensive. It's a chatterbait.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, it's expensive. But what's up with the Thunder Cricket?
I've had one guy buy like 3 of them, and then his buddy came in the other day, and he said, I don't know what it is, but it was Strike King. It's expensive, it's new. He's like, my buddy's been whacking them, and he bought 2 and 1 for his buddy. And he's been ranting and raving about the bass, the tilapia, and caught a big crappie on it too.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I can see it. It's the right size. It's a miniature chatterbait is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little chatterbait. It's fairly heavy, but yeah, I mean, I'm gonna have to double check the price on that. That's pricey.
Yeah. No, you did double check it, because we all scratched our head.
Yeah, but if it catches that many fish, it's probably worth it.
Yeah, his buddy's pretty stoked, and his other buddy, so they're, and they caught him in several different places. He said they've been hitting 9 Mile Canal and Gulf Cove, or not Gulf Cove, but Rotunda. He said they've just been jumping all over the place, but he said it's surprising how well it's working.
It's one of those, I was just buying
but
stuff
the,
because
that's
it was
like
striking.
A miniature chatter. Miniature spinner bait kind of goes hand in hand almost.
Yeah, I mean, they both got a big thumping noise, and so I can see where it'd work. You know? Mm-hmm. I'll see if the guys out there, we got a bunch of guys over by DeSoto County that fish all those lakes out there.
Yeah.
I'll tell them about it.
There you go.
See if it works over there, too. Anyway, yeah, it's...
just weird, certain lures.
And after 30-some years, boys and girls, this is actually, you know, somebody buys something and we hear about it, and they tell us about it, and we'll say, okay, we'll give this a try, because, you know, so-and-so said he did real good on it, and guys try him, and then the next guy, and all of a sudden it becomes a big thing. And it's not like we plan it. This is just, you know, how we figure out what lures are working. We hear back from customers. It's kind of like the way we do broken rods, you know. I hate it when people come in and try to lie to me about rods. I get really stupid mean about that point. Because if it's crushed and you're telling me a fish broke it, I know you're a liar. Not only that, you're a stupid liar.
Right.
You know, you just don't have the brains God give the bag the rocks came in.
Right.
And, you know, then I get upset and I don't want to replace it. Because they don't get, they are field testing for us.
Mm-hmm.
That first year, the first 6 months, whatever we give you on the rod, we're expecting you to come back and tell us, oh, I got stupid, I stepped on it, rod's broke, okay, here you go, here's another one. And, or a fish broke it. We have drop lines of rods because they broke on fish,
mm-hmm.
and they wouldn't stay together. We continuously sell rods that people have broken in car doors, up against the dock, you know, sitting on them, stepping on them, because the rods were fine, just the people had a bad, you know, just
had a bad moment.
Yeah, had a bad moment. No big deal, you know. And we don't tell, we tell the factories, you don't take back everything that we replace. That is our field testing. That's our advertising. It allows us to be good to the customers. And the manufacturers don't have to take them back. We just break them up, throw them in the dumpster, you know. But I would rather spend my money with that, losing money on a rod and reel or so, or a rod here and there, rather than, you know, buying an ad in a newspaper or doing something, because that's just a waste of money to me.
Plus, you know, other thing, it helps us build the confidence, because we don't use every one of the models or brands of rods.
We have over 900 rods in that rack.
Getting them to use them and find out if it's a good rod. Hey,
you know,
that's
what's
an
good
outstanding
about it? What's
rod.
Bad
what's
about
bad?
It?
Exactly.
Oh, I like it. No, I don't. You know, and then when people break a rod and they say, well, I don't have one of those, but I... you can have, you know, this one or this one or this one. They're different. But that's not a... I said, but it, you're not getting the warranty from Star. You're getting the warranty from us.
Right.
That's a Fish and Frank warranty. It's not a Star warranty. It's not a Penn warranty. It's not a, you know, it's a Fish and Frank's guarantee.
Right.
So I don't care if you take a different brand. It's all my money. It's all that comes out of the same exact wallet.
Yep.
So if you want a different brand, you know, this is how much money the rod was worth, get something about that value. You know, we can go up or down a little bit. But, yeah, it's funny, they don't get their field testing.
Yeah.
And they think they're at some shop who actually gives a rat's butt that, oh, you know, if you didn't break another fish, we're not going to replace it. You suck. You know, get off your wallet, be nice to your customers, replace the damn rod. You know, pick a time that you're willing to replace it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and 99% of the people don't abuse it at all.
No.
You always got a half of 1%. Half of 1% of the people you deal with, whether it's cops, Native Americans, inner city dwellers, they're all... everybody, no matter what group you put together, I don't care what it is, any group of people of any race, any creed, or any color, half of 1% are jerks.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do bad, dumb things. But that leaves 99.5% of the people who are going to treat you really well. And they're going to come in and go, man, you know, this is what happened. And, you know, okay, here's your new rod.
Right.
And that's simple. And it's literally that easy.
Just don't lie.
Don't lie. And don't lie to your customers. Don't let your customers lie to you.
The fish broke this, really. Is the tailgate of your truck white as you're taking the paint off the blank? That's always a fun one.
whoa, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Sorry, boys and girls. Didn't mean to cuss on the show. Let's see. West Wall.
It's slowing down on the northern end a lot. It's mostly below the tower. A lot of snook moving. You know, the snook are just cruising, heading towards the passes. been a few redfish over there, but there has been some cobia on top of the bar, a few assorted sizes of sharks. A couple guys are seeing a few smaller tarpon, both inside on the trough and on the outside of the bar there. You know, it's been kind of a mixed barrage of stuff, but the water is like unbelievably clear. A guy took a picture of some manatees down there, and they were in 4 feet of water, and I could make it out on his phone 7 different manatees in the shot.
Wow.
It was pretty cool. It was a really cool picture. He's supposed to send it to you and to Josh, because, I mean, it's just a really spectacular-looking picture, and it was shot from his cell phone. It's like, that's pretty good.
So, cell phones are always cool. I'm trying to find a deal on Polaroid film so mm-hmm. that take some pictures of different stuff and put it up on the ceiling, because it lasts longer than anything.
Oh, absolutely.
Polaroid pictures were, after the hurricane, everything's in the slop and the mud and insulation and all that. Take a rag, wipe it off, it's good.
Yeah.
Regular pictures just all nasty and, you know,
they almost melted pretty much. It was like everything kind
in
of
the electronics and stuff. It just shorts out the phone. The phone goes bad, you lost all your pictures.
Right.
Polaroid pictures last forever.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I'll bet you in 200 years they're going to find Polaroids laying in the dirt somewhere and go, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
All right. Capes.
Spanish mackerel. Ladyfish. Some sharks. That's about it. Kind of a mixed barrage there.
Okay. And let's see. Bull Bay and or Turtle Bay.
Where do you go with that one? There's a lot of stuff. You got some pompano and a couple of flounder on the outside and front with a bunch of snook moving around. And then inside, you got a bunch of snook moving around also. And been a handful of redfish. A lot of different sharks. One guy got a 6-foot nurse shark that swam up to the boat. He was chasing after his white bait. I'm like, that's pretty funny. And then there's been other bonnet heads and black tips, miscellaneous, some juvenile tarpon.
Okay.
Just, well, that's probably one of the
danger.
Better areas.
Danger Reef, Capes.
Spanish mackerel, and a few sharks. A couple guys have fished it for snapper, but haven't done any good, so they just ended up catching the Spanish and a couple of sharks.
All right, Gasparilla Sound.
Oh, let's see, backside of Widden, all that area, a lot of snook. Haven't heard much for redfish. As you move out into the little bit deeper water, it's been Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, a couple of small baby bluefish, and some jacks. Been a lot of boating pressure coming through that whole area, so it's gotten a little quieter with some of the fish, but still not bad at all.
Okay. That was a really bad sentence. I just took a minute to fix it.
Yeah.
Placida Pier.
Well, let's see. Nighttime fishing. The guys have been getting some snook, some bigger mangrove snapper, a couple of sharks. During the daytime, the mangroves have started to pick up just a little tiny bit, and then they're catching Spanish mackerel. I've been catching a few bigger Spanish mackerel, not a ton of them, but one guy had one that was 20 inches or something like that. I think you remember him telling me.
Nice size fish.
Yeah.
Okay. And Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay, I haven't had anything on this week.
Okay. Pier. Anger Pier.
The Anger Pier has been some snook at night with some sharks. And then during the day, they may get into some Spanish mackerel, a couple of whiting, then some big, like, hand-sized pinfish being caught off of there, and then some jacks. The jacks have been mostly on the smaller side, but they're still catching them on spoons while fishing for the Spanish mackerel.
Okay. Venice?
Got nothing off of the pier, but the jetties have been snook, a few tarpon, and an assortment of sharks on the beach side of it. I didn't get any Spanish reports or anything like that.
Okay, Gulf of Mexico.
It's a little on the hodgepodge side because of how windy it's been this week. I got two guys that went offshore. One was on Sunday and one was on Monday. The Sunday guy only made it out 10 miles and caught a mangrove snapper, a bunch of grunts, had one cobia swim up to the boat. And then the other guy, he went out actually 45 miles and got into some blackfin tuna, some king mackerel, a couple of pretty good sized red grouper, and some nice yellowtail snapper.
How far was that?
45 miles. Said it was his only day off and he was going for it. He said it was a little bumpy, but he was fine with it.
Now, what else was being caught up there? Blackfin tuna, what?
Blackfin tuna, some king mackerel. They got some nice red grouper, not as nice as they wanted, but decent, and some good yellowtail snapper. Been so windy out there this week that not a lot of guys went. A lot of guys going tomorrow and Monday because it's supposed to be calm, but...
All right. Walking the beach?
Not a lot. I didn't get much at all.
Okay.
And it depends on the beach because some of the beaches the people are being told they can't fish, and then other beaches that are in the same county that are still public are having no issues at all with the cops.
Well,
I've had several people tell me that
Inglewood
Beach...
Anywhere where there's houses, swimming areas, they're going, no, you can't fish here. Because
yeah.
The rich people don't want you fishing there because that's their beach.
Mm-hmm.
And where the swimming area is, they don't, oh, no, you're going to attract fish here and people are going to get bit. Really?
Yeah, that might be part of it. It's just kind of weird how Inglewood Beach, a couple guys are able to sit down and fish, and then other guys are going there and getting chased off and told they're not allowed to sit there and have a chair out or anything like that.
Really?
Yeah. Because the parks are still closed. Stump Pass and Boca Grande Park are still closed to the fishing part of it, and I think for the beach part of it, because they're state parks.
That doesn't make any sense. State parks opened before the county did.
Oh, that's what I've been told by several people. That it's still closed out there as of Monday. That was the last time I heard anything.
Yeah. Well, it's like the 120-foot rule.
Right.
It's still closed out past 120, right? Did they open it up?
Yeah, I think that's June 1st.
June 1st it opens?
Yeah, I think so.
What the hell's up with that?
I don't know. I don't get that at all.
I got to call the governor and ask if I can get on the Marine Fisheries Commission. Because... I'm sick and tired of these people making idiotic stuff with no explanations. Just, we're closing this, we're doing that. And then you're supposed to have divine knowledge of it.
Right. Yeah.
Divine knowledge, really, that works great for being a good person. You know, you go to church and you receive divine, thoughts and feelings. But when you're out with fishing rules and regulations, it should be freaking written down and noticed and not have to dig through 16 pages of stuff to find it.
Well, 16 pages and 16 different websites because they all fall under different law entities. But you're coming back into state waters, so that should be covered in the state regulations. Because guess what? If you go out past this, these are the rules, but you need to know them because you're coming back through state waters. Because it's, 10 inches for a mangrove snapper in state waters, but it's 12 inches in federal waters.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we just doing the same thing as the feds do?
I don't know. That's dumb.
Yeah, I'm speechless. Sanibel?
Got nothing. They're completely closed down. The actual island itself for beach fishing, they're not letting anybody do any beach fishing. You better be in a boat.
Really?
Yep. That's what the shrimper told me, the shallow.
Hmm.
He was telling me that yesterday when I was out there chatting with him.
Why in the heck would they close Sanibel Island?
because they got a lot of rich people there.
Yeah, but if you live there, you can't fish. If you chase everybody else off, you can't fish either.
I don't know. He was saying they aren't making any deliveries out there because everything is shut down on that whole island.
I'll be damned.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for us because life in Port Charlotte's kind of like normal. You can go to a restaurant. You can go back out. Over the last week, everything's kind of toned way down. And it's hard to remember that there's a lot of stupid people still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, my advice is take all the precautions. But what I never hear them say, and what I'm always curious about, is doctors are... Hang on. More birthday stuff for Rob. All right. Just makes me feel like a jerk because I'm trying to be nice to you, but you're like, oh, no. You know?
Sorry.
God. Yeah, thanks. All right. Now I know better than to be nice to you. That's all. Okay. Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's got some snook down there still, but the surrounding area, they've been getting a lot of juvenile tarpon and a few redfish. And some of the bigger snook have been pretty decent. Danny's been doing a little bit of snook fishing down there and catching some 30, 33-inch fish.
Okay, Pine Island Sound?
That's where it really been good for big snook. All the islands down there, especially north and south of the shacks there. Saw one picture of about a 39-inch snook, I think he said it was. And then some redfish, Spanish mackerel, some tarpon are starting to move up and down the intercoastal there, along with a lot of miscellaneous sharks of assorted sizes. And you need to stay way back from the bushes when you're casting because the water is unbelievably clear. So if you're seeing fish, they're seeing you without a doubt. A lot of guys are saying, I can see fish, but I'm having a hard time catching them. But another guy comes in and says, I got no problems. I'm just trucking along, blind casting and doing just fine. So I think that's part of their issues with the water clarity.
Well, over the last years and years we've been doing this, we keep telling people, if you can see them, they can see you. Got to get out of sight.
Well, especially like you said, the water at the river's at 60 feet or whatever.
67 cubic feet per second, which is no flow.
None.
Yeah.
That might almost go backwards with the tide.
It does go backwards with the tide. You would have to get up past Jim Long Lake, you know, where I took you up to Hancock, not Jim Long, but Hancock,
yeah.
Way the heck up there with all the cypress trees.
Right.
You would have to go that far past Horse Creek to find any fresh water.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that's a ways up there.
Jeez.
I don't even know if I could get there with my boat right now.
That's crazy. So, yeah, that equates to super clear water out there for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Jug Creek Shoals, Poquilla, north end of Pine Island?
Let's see, a lot of snook, been Spanish mackerel, and a few assorted sizes of sharks. There's been a lot of small bait down there, but nothing to speak of except for threadies that are way out there in the deeper water.
All right. Burnt Store, Two Pines?
A lot of snook. Some pretty nice snook, you know, high 20s, both north and south there of the islands. And then there's been a few juvenile tarpon just on the outside of the bar mixed in with some ladyfish and some Spanish mackerel. And then there's been a few pompano being caught down there closer to Two Pines.
Okay. East side of the harbor?
Mostly some redfish up along the shoreline there around Pirate Harbor. Been a few small sharks on the inside and the outside of the bar, along with a few cobia. I haven't heard of any snook north of Pirate Harbor, really. I think so many guys are chasing tarpon that they're kind of forgetting about the flats a little bit more, so it's been minimal reports on them.
Right.
Which Alligator is good for Creek. The guys that like the flats.
Alligator Creek?
Some jacks. A few snook moving out of there. Guy got into a couple pompano right at the mouth. And then if you go way up inside to the Burnt Store Meadows canals, black drum, juvenile tarpon started to get real active again. And the mangrove snapper is starting to act up a little bit better in there too.
Okay, Ponce de Leon.
I got nothing at Ponce.
I haven't heard a thing either.
Mm-mm. A couple guys are looking at the big snook. That's the only thing I've heard of is seeing the big snook sitting underneath the dock, but I don't know anybody that's been really fishing it.
No. I've heard the same thing. Oh, I lost the big snook.
Yeah.
Heard they've lost some big snook, you know, didn't land them. That was about it.
Right.
Hey, PGI Canals.
Still, the jacks have been really, really popular with the guys that are smart enough to troll in and out of there. And then juvenile tarpon are scattered all over the place. Black drum are starting to get a lot more active. Guys are hearing them. Guys are catching them. Mangrove snapper definitely doing a little bit better. And that's about it. A lot of little snook in the lights at night. So some guys are going out evening fishing and catching some small snook. But I haven't heard of any real big ones.
Gilcrest Pier.
A couple sharks. Guy got a little bowl, and the other one I couldn't tell what it is. He thought it was a black tip, but it was a really lousy picture.
Alligator Creek Reef.
The southern end has got a lot of Spanish mackerel hanging around it because there's been a lot of little bait, and then a few sharks. They're not nothing else.
Deep holes in the harbor.
Spanish mackerel, sharks, and the tarpon are finally just now starting to move back into those holes after the full moon. So it's starting to perk up a little bit. Main thing for the Spanish is look for any bait fish. You'll find better numbers. If you're just blind trolling, it's just one here, one there. But if you see some bait, definitely better numbers.
All right, freshwater.
Bass fishing is still probably the king. 9 Mile Canal, Punta Gorda. I mean, I got guys driving as far north as Placid. Is that northeast? And then they're buying a lot of worms for the tilapia, the bluegill, the Mayan cichlids. You know, and they're just in pretty much every freshwater canal everywhere. Been really, really good freshwater these last several weeks.
The worms under a float?
They're doing them always. We got one guy that's putting the little wigglers on the crappie jig and actually casting them out and slowly retrieving them. That's how he's catching his bigger bluegill and the tilapia. And then the other people are just putting them under bobbers. He likes fishing with 2 and 4 pound test lines, so he's been using those little crappie jigs and just puts a little wiggler, and he actually bought a couple of those, the big reds to try out.
How'd they like them?
He didn't come back yet to tell me how he did.
Yeah,
he was kind of excited to try it, though.
Yeah, I think that big red's going to be a nice one because when I was a kid, we would have called that like an angle worm. They were
called a what?
Some reason, an angle worm.
Angle worm?
Yeah, I don't know where the name comes from, but they're not. The wigglers are a lot smaller than the
right.
worms, and but yeah, that was. These remind me of the regular worms we used as a kid.
Right.
You know, they're not small, not big, like a nightcrawler. You know?
Right.
All right, red dots for tarpon, best bet?
Definitely Captiva, Boca Grande. And that's pretty much it for the red dots. The rest is all going to be very likely.
Okay, we got 50-50. Where's the next best bet?
The holes out along the beaches.
All right, give me a minute.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Okay, along the beaches, starting where up north?
I've heard them as far north as Stump Pass.
Okay. All the way down?
All the way down to Sanibel. And then there's been some starting to pop up in the intercoastal from Redfish Pass going up to Boca Grande Pass. I haven't heard of any around Gasparilla Pass.
But in those instances, it's more of a chance of, right?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Not a 50-50, slighter chance, or?
Yeah, I'll go with a 50-50 on that one.
Okay.
Just because there's so many fish starting to move around everywhere.
What about Micah River?
Nothing. Just some juveniles around the bridge.
East side, west side along the bars?
Mm-mm. Little guys.
Okay. Anywhere else?
That's it.
Okay.
Every day I'm just getting more and more reports of them in the harbor, which has been good because had a lot of guys said, oh, I tried to go out to Boca Grande last Saturday and last Sunday, and man... But I've had other guys that have been coming in from fishing and saying they're running into them in the holes. And other guys that are running into them in the sound.
You know, it kind of brings me to a point where I've got to watch you guys. Because a guy came in today. He's never been to Boca Grande Pass fishing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And guy behind the counter is telling him, oh, well, that sucks out there and that's horrible. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. If... you've never been to Boca Grande Pass. It is one of the most beautiful, amazing... it's literally freaking Disney World out there.
It is.
And, you know, the problem with people who have done it time and time again is they forget how cool it was the first time they went out there. When you're out there for the very first time and you've never seen Boca Grande Pass before and 1,000 fish blow up out of the water and... you know, all this stuff that goes on and that is pretty much specific to Boca Grande Pass. It is amazing, exciting, the NASCAR fishing. It is, it's just awesome. Yeah. And then having somebody says, oh, that's horrible out there and all that. Because they've been out there 200 times, got a little jaded, pissed off at the other boats. And I just tried to tell the guy, the one thing, I said, what's the name of the guy who's the biggest jerk you know? He happened to say the name Jim. You know, irrelevant. It could have been Stan or Bob or Elmer or whatever. But I said, just remember, everybody in all the other boats out there are Jim.
You know? Nice. I like that. That's a good way to put it.
So just remember, stay away from them. Hang out. Watch what's going on. One of the big secrets to it out there is you see all these fish pop up on the surface and watch all the boats chase them. And then all of a sudden they pop up over there and all the boats chase them. Then they go almost back identically to where they were before or maybe in a new spot. But they usually got anywhere from 2 to 4 places where they're going to pop up. And it seems they do the same thing over and over again. It's kind of like a big circle.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do is go, okay, I saw them pop up here, pop up there, then pop up here again. Now they're over there. I'm just going to go over here and wait for them.
Right.
They're going to come back.
Yeah.
So why run with all the other boats? Just give it 15 minutes and watch what goes on. Laugh at all the other craziness that's going on. Enjoy everything. And just wait. All of a sudden, boom, there they are by you again.
Yeah.
It's not that big an area. You can figure out kind of where they're going to be. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's just kind of funny if they just take a minute to kick back. Check out what's going on. Not all bad.
I think the only thing that a lot of the people that are new to the area explaining to them is that knowing the regulations that are out there that are that the Boca Grande laws.
Right.
Because there is actually a specific law for 3 months out of the year from April, May, and June. And if you go on the FWC website and just type in Boca Grande rules, it pops right up because it applies to all anglers, not just tarpon anglers. But just so you're aware of it, because I've seen several people out there by themselves in that pass, and that's, hey, fishing for tarpon by yourself is not exactly the smartest thing to do.
It's a good way to get hurt.
Exactly. You know, and B, technically, you're breaking a state law. So just got to be careful of that when you're going out there for your first time. I always suggest for people go out there for the first time to look at it, enjoy it, but don't plan on fishing it for that first little while and absorb it and kind of get a really good feel for things and kind of a rough understanding.
But it just annoys the hell out of me when people say, oh, that's horrible out there, and this yeah. is bad.
No,
when
not.
I can remember the first times they were going out there, they were so excited they damn near peed themselves.
I was out there fishing with Carl 2 weeks ago, and we had a spectacular day. Obviously, the girlfriend outfished me, but I was still trying to take pictures and video of all the tarpon coming up and rolling around the boat, because it still makes me excited. I understand the little quirks, so, and there's certain things that I'm a little numb and jaded about,
when
but
you hear
no.
one of these idiots behind the counter here start spouting off on how bad it is, stop them, interrupt them, tell them, go sit down and shut up. Go dip some shrimp.
Right.
And step in, because I get annoyed with that, because if somebody's done it 1,000 times, yeah, there's a lot of things maybe you don't like about it, but there's 1,000 things you should love about it.
Absolutely.
You know, I shouldn't get like that, but I get like that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
You know. And see, I'm not any easier on the people that work here than I am you, okay? So when you come in, yes, this is Frank. He's a jerk, but I am the most helpful jerk on the planet. That's just the way it goes. You know, I'm not some great person. I have a lot of flaws, but it's, you know, you got to tell people the correct thing. Because if somebody's asking about Boca Grande Pass, they don't know nothing about it.
Right.
You know, they don't have a clue. So that's when they need to be told, and in a more realistic way than, oh, it sucks, because it doesn't. It's actually awesome.
Right.
No, it does suck after you've done it 40 or 50 times.
Yes.
And then the great days get fewer between, because people tend to make you mad. But if you've never done it, it's like Disney World. You know, go up and see it. Is it something I would do more than once? Is it something I would do? That's the other question. I haven't done it.
Right.
I just can't bring myself to go and stand in those lines to do all that stuff. I know one day I should. Because I hear it's pretty cool, but I don't know. I just can't get myself to do it.
I don't see you doing it.
Yeah, do you really see me at Disney World?
No. I could probably Photoshop it in there, but I doubt that'd be about the only way.
Well, I hate being told what to do. You know, stand here, do this, do that. You know.
Yeah, that's got you all over it.
Yeah. You know, it's...
Conform, please.
Yes. So, I don't know. But anyway, yeah. Things coming and go.
Yeah.
I forgot to load the show. Good God, I'm going to get back on the game. I didn't even load this week in fishing.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
My brain's been totally shot this entire week. I literally, who was it? Now I can't even remember what it was, but her and I were talking out back the other night, and like 3 different times I couldn't remember 2 of the 3 people's names right off the bat. It took me a minute. And they were normal, whether it was one of the employees or what, but it was just like just gone.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just little just inconsistencies with the brain not firing right at all this week.
Yeah, well.
And it happens.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
Nothing. Teach people how to fish and try to make it enjoyable as best we can.
Yeah, that's got to kind of be it.
Guy came in yesterday super excited. He went out and hooked his very first tarpon after listening to what I was explaining to him, and he was just completely floored and ready to go do it all over again. You know, and it's stuff like that that makes us so awesomely amazing. Another guy sharing a story, had to replace his reel. Broke, but it was his wife's reel, so he's being patient, but he said, I've only got another week, because then she comes back. But then we started chatting about him getting, it's his high school sweetheart. They've been married for 30, 35, 36 years, something like that. And he said he got her into fishing and hunting, and he was telling me about her very first animal she ever hunted and killed was a 5x5 elk.
Really?
And it was at, they went to some lodge or whatever, so they had a guided trip, but there was other guys there, and the one guy came up and said, man, that's not a bad elk. You know, one of the other hunters. He goes, yeah, my wife shot it. And then he got all mad and everything else. Matter of fact, it's her first animal she's ever shot. And then he was really, really mad. So ever since then, she just really has enjoyed it that much more for the fishing and hunting of it. So I thought that was, it was just cool to have those little moments of them sharing stories like that of the outdoor world in general.
The weird part about all this is we're so used to, one of the women who just started working here a little while ago was telling me, she said, I can't believe how many women are in this store. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh yeah, there's, I mean, I would say 80% of the day there's women in here, you know, looking for fishing stuff and, you know, buying stuff and doing their thing and all that, whether it's, you know, mom with kids or just women who fish. But we have, there's just a lot of women, and I mean, we just take it for granted that it's like this everywhere.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't, from what I hear, it's not. And I don't know why it's not, because, I mean, we've got women in here that the guys ain't even going to keep up to, you know. But it doesn't matter the gender. I mean, and they're from people who really just put a shrimp on a hook and throw it out and see what happens to, you know, high-tech lures and all this other kind of stuff. But there's every skill set, every age, from very young to very old. But I guess because we've never thought of women, you know, it's just somebody going fishing.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, it just kind of took me by surprise when she said, I can't believe how many women are in this store. Because, you know, there's 150 guys come through a day, and then there's 50, 75 women a day.
Well, and here's a perfect example. You said it's from beginners to very much avid anglers of the females. A perfect example is, it was probably about a month and a half ago, there was a woman and her husband. They come in semi-regularly. They travel quite a bit. She holds 4 different line class records for fish.
Right.
3 of them are for Kubera Snapper.
Really?
And 2 of them are from the late 80s or mid 80s. She still holds those records.
I'll be damned.
And he held 2 records for a while, but she's the one who instigated the whole thing with him. He loved to fish, got her into fishing, then she wanted to start chasing records. And it was cool because I'm like listening to their stories for a while, and then I went home and looked up in the IGFA book. I can't remember her name, but I got thumb folded over on the page, but she's still in there. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. And he said, it's all her fault. She's the one that wanted to chase records. I just wanted to fish and enjoy myself.
So,
pretty cool.
Well, anyway, I guess we better get back to work.
Probably.
So, all right. Another day, and I wish I could get this all to work properly. Oh, it's the wrong one. That's why.
Hey,
see, people it's are not applauding.
It's not a knob.
They're applauding us not be, you know, going away.
Going away. Yes. Goodbye.
And that's the noisemaker that says we are officially going away. So, well, thanks for listening, boys and girls. Having fun. Enjoy it out there. And happy birthday to Robert one more time.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you. Bye.